Tonight, as we sit down to the Seder table, there are two primary Torah mitzvahs that we do on this evening. There is the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, retelling and reliving the story of leaving Mitzrayim. And there is eating matzah. Eating matzah is a Torah mitzvah. The Zohar calls matzah Michla Dimehe Menusa, bread of faith, bread of emunah. And it's explained that just as regular food, all food, causes the strengthening of the connection of soul and body, right? When we're weak, when we don't eat, we're weak, and our soul doesn't function in our body as well. And when we eat, we strengthen that connection and bring our soul into our body and are able to function and live in a healthy way. In the same way, matzah, in addition to the typical, regular characteristic of food, of us making us alive, it's actually able to strengthen the emunah, the faith that we have in Hashem. We have faith in Hashem because of our neshama, because of our soul. But in order to strengthen that faith and bring it into us and help us connect to it and experience it, matzah, of all the foods that we eat in the entire year, the matzah that we eat throughout Pesach has that power of strengthening our emunah. What's the connection of matzah with emunah? So I'll give 2 points. One point is that when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim the very first time, and they took their matzah and left Egypt, left Mitzrayim, they exhibited a tremendous leap of emunah, faith. The pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, the Navi Yirmiyahu says that Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, "I'll always remember. Zacharti lo chesed niuroyich ahavas klulei soyich. I'll remember that chesed, that kindness that Klal Yisrael did for Hashem, so to speak, lechtech acharai b'midbar be'eretz le'zeruah, that we followed Hashem into a desert." We're talking about millions of Jewish people. And Moshe Rabbeinu tells them in the name of Hashem that let's go. We're going out to the desert and we're going to receive the Torah at Har Sinai. How are they going to eat? How are they going to live? Where are they going to live? Who's going to fend for them? Who's going to take care of them? You have this tremendous amount of emunah. I mean, this is suicidal for an entire nation to travel into the desert without having any idea of where they're going and to whom they're going and who's going to fend for them. And this was that tremendous emunah and tremendous bitachin, that belief and faith in Hashem that Klal Yisrael exhibited on that first night when they left Mitzrayim. And it was that night that they made their quick doze and they took their doze that didn't even rise yet and put it on their shoulders and left. And that's the first time that we have Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matzah associated with a tremendously powerful emunah, faith, and belief in Hashem. In addition, we know that real faith is when one doesn't necessarily understand, it doesn't necessarily make sense to me at the moment. I believe. There's also understanding. We work on understanding and comprehending and so on and so forth. Now, to understand and to comprehend is something that we associate more, something that we appreciate it more. Makes sense to us, we enjoy it. So that's taste. When we understand something, we have the taste of it, like wine or meat or such types of foods that are more connected with good taste. Matzah is extremely bland. It's bread and water. It's flour and water. That's all it is. No additional spices, nothing. It's just very, very plain and simple. But it keeps us alive. And the same is with the emunah of a yid. There are things that we understand, and there are times that we understand and appreciate, but there are times of difficulty and times that things happen that make no sense, and there are things that we don't comprehend. And yet, a yid believes, and that's matzah, the simple bread of faith, simplicity, the simplicity of the faith of matzah, the faith that Klal Yisrael exhibited leaving Mitzrayim, and the faith that as Jewish people we've exhibited throughout the generations through thick and thin. When things made more sense, when things made less, when we understood more, when we understood less, the ingredient that went with us throughout is our basic emunah, the foundation of our faith in Hashem above. I spoke in the last couple of messages about Zadie Rubashkin, who today is the end of the Shiva after Zadie's passing. And we spoke about a number of points. We spoke about how he lived a story, how he lived the song, how he lived the situation, really experienced everything. We talk about how he cared for everyone, respected everyone, and was so giving. But perhaps I didn't get to the main point. Zadie was a true maimin. He was a man of faith, a man of belief in Hashem, unwavering in all situations. Someone who saw or watched Zaidi past 90 years old, waking up, coming down, pulling out his siddur, and saying the brachas from the siddur, or coming home late at night from work, again, past 90 years old, with no energy, like just totally, totally exhausted, and going to his office and opening up his chumash to do the daily chumash, and then take out the siddur to do the Kriyat Shema Shalamita. That was Emunah. He was a maimon. To watch him on a Shabbos. And throughout the years that I knew him, the last 20-something years, of course, Zaidi was involved in so many different difficult situations and business issues and so much going on and so much strain and so much stress. Came Shabbos, nothing existed. There was no business and there was no stress and there was no strain and there was no meetings and no difficulties from the beginning of Shabbos. Friday night by the Shabbos table, Shabbos day, Milava Malka after Shabbos. Throughout Shabbos, the word business, the concept of stress, the concept of money issues, any issues, didn't exist. Shabbos was an oasis of Kedusha. Only a maimon, only one who truly believes in Hashem, can say this day of the week, all of my vast businesses don't exist. All of my tzaras, all my court cases don't exist. Because now it's Shabbos. Now it's Shabbos. I'm celebrating with Hashem. Perhaps one of the most difficult situations that Zaidi lived through was almost 10 years that his son had to be in prison. Crazy story. And every Friday I would call Zaidi and say, Zaidi, was machman, was herzich? And the answer was always the same. Adayntem Eberschen. Bizitzter und halavai weiter. I thank Hashem for every day until now, and I pray for further, that things should become better. But always that basic thank you Hashem that was on his lips whenever you spoke to him. And that gave him the ability to be besimcha. Through his life, he went through everything. You know, I heard Zaidi was once involved with a number of people that were, intellectuals and sophisticated people. And one of them tells him, Jewish people, one of them says, Mr. Rabashkin, we hear that you believe in God. And Zaidi, in his sharp and typical way, answers, I don't believe in God. They said, no? He says, no, I saw God. God is a reality to me. I don't believe in him. And he went on to describe when he and his family were escaping the Nazis out of the city of Neville, where he was born and where he grew the first years of his life. And then they had to leave. And then the Nazis bombarded and killed everyone who was left. And they were fleeing, and there was many people fleeing. And there was like a whole group of people. And they were being bombed as they were leaving. And others, some of the younger people ran off for shelter, but he stayed with the elders to care for his parents, his grandparents. So he stayed, and the bombs were falling around them. And he says, and we traveled right through the bombs, as if they made a path for us. I don't believe in Hashem. I saw and experienced and continue to experience Hashem, said Zaidi. And I'll finish with a story that he told me a number of times and told many people. Beautiful story. And he asked me to share the story again and again. He says he was a little boy, again going back to the Neville years. I believe this was in Neville still. Or maybe it was the next step, I'm not sure. But he was a little boy, less than 10 years old. And he was walking to Cheder with his brother, with their payas and their little caps. And they were surrounded by a group of communist kids. And these communist kids were all about trying to stamp out the belief in Hashem. That's what communism was. And these kids were surrounding them, bigger than them, and they weren't hurting them physically. They were taunting them. They were laughing from them. And he says he remembers, and the way Zaidi said the story, he says the biggest of these kids was taunting them, saying the following, doesn't it say in your siddur that everything that a person does is recorded? Kol masecha b'sefer nichtovim, everything that a person does is recorded in heaven. Doesn't it say that? And the little boy said, yes. And he said, but how does that make any sense? Who's recording? He says, where is there enough ink to record the actions of billions of people? And even if there's enough ink, where is there enough parchment? Where is there enough paper? And even if there would be enough paper, where is it stored? Where could they store billions of pieces of information daily? And even if they would find a place to store it, how could they find it? How could you ever pull out and find a piece of information that was stored amongst billions of pieces of information? And these communist kids are standing around them and just laughing at their powerful proof against the basic belief that we have in Hashem and Hashem knowing everything that goes on in the world. And Zaidi would sit there and tell me, he says, and now it's 80 years later. Where are those children? I wish I want to meet them and show them my cell phone. How one cell phone is able to record millions of pieces of information, computers, things that happen in the entire world. In a second, you have it at your fingertips. All those questions aren't questions anymore, said Zaidi. But then we didn't know the answer. We didn't have a way of explaining where it's stored or how it's stored or who writes it or with what it's written. We didn't know. But it says it in our holy Sfarim. It says it in Torah. And we believed it with perfect faith. And their taunting and their question didn't weaken our Emunah. And today, 80 years later, the answer is right here. And of course, as Zaidi would add, it's not as if something changed. It's not as if the abilities for a cell phone wasn't there 80 years ago. It's just that we got a little smarter. We figured out how to do it. But Hashem created that. And if it could be done today, of course it could have been done then. And Zaidi would say, tell this story to people. And tell them about our Emunah. And tell us that whatever it says in the Torah is true, whether we understand it yet or not yet. That's Pesach. Pesach is the foundation of Emunah. The Matzah is the foundation of Emunah, which is the foundation for the entire year. I'll conclude with the fact that the Zohar says that just like Matzah is the bread of faith, Matzah is also the bread of healing. It has a special spiritual healing power. Today there are so many people that are in need of healing, actual physical healing, broken hearts that need to be healed, so much sadness, so much pain. May Hashem see the Emunah of Klal Yisrael. May Hashem look down at us and give us the gift of healing, physical healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing, and the greatest healing of all, that this Pesach, which is the Yom Tov of our Geula, the Yom Tov of our redemption, B'Nissan Nigalu, we were redeemed in this month of Nissan on this night, may be once again the day of our redemption and the night of our redemption with the coming of Mashiach. And we'll celebrate this Pesach in Eretz Yisrael with the third Beis HaMikdash, with all of our loved ones, with the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu today. Have a good Yom Tov.